Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
Oh my, I know I feel that song. Whenever it plays, I feel it. And yes, my family, before I greet my guests, we are grateful, truly grateful for your support during our videothon. Last week, you were with us from Tuesday up until Friday, supporting. Your support means a lot to us. We know that you love us through your support. And so you make it possible also for us to continue sharing the gospel throughout South Africa and worldwide in your language. And for those who have missed out on the videothon that we had and still want to give, please send us an SMS with the word give, starting with the word give, followed by the amount you wish to give to 37871. Alternatively, you can do so by sending that to our WhatsApp line at 082-657-2729. Do remember that together with you, we bring the gospel home. And I always say, let me add, in your language. The two radio stations, the online radio stations, will be launched on Wednesday. We are looking forward to it. In our studios today, this afternoon, I am blessed. And as you have seen, Pastor Clement and our psychologist is Petunia Lenono. Don't understand this. But Dominic. Taking us to the 60s. Huh?
Yeah.
I don't know what's the name of this. Yeah.
And, the hustle. And the... You're a hustler, baby.
I watch too much TV. Welcome, guys. How are you?
Thank you.
Good, and you?
Good. How is the belly to...
Oh, belly to brain. Uh-huh. We are so blessed. We have a gentleman by the name of Richard running the Comrades Marathon for us to raise funds for our Sandwich Day in July. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. We're feeding 17,000 people.
Oh, my.
So
we should find ourselves there.
Yes, you will. Come and do the radio show from there.
And also do the...
Spreading the love.
Uh-huh.
Spread the love.
All right.
Yes.
Sis Petri, how are you?
I'm highly blessed and favored.
Uh-huh, looking fly as ever.
Thank you.
Pastor Clement, you haven't said a word in how many months now, Dominic?
He's surrounded by so many awesome women. You know, the man doesn't get a job. But we need to congratulate him. He's a married man.
What?
Thank you.
What? Why am I the last one to find out all the time? Hi, boo. So you're a minister.
Yes.
No. But you were traditionally married.
Yeah, last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now.
And then we had our wedding celebration. It was 2 weeks ago.
So, in Zanin, by the way.
It was in Zanin. So you know, to get to Zanin from
buckets?
Victoria, you must get a flight.
No, buckets.
They are coming.
Buckets. Oh, congratulations!
Thank you.
You shouldn't be here because the Bible says.
Oh.
Can I finish?
Yeah.
The Bible says a man who just got married shouldn't go to war.
Yeah, but the war continues. The war won't wait for honeymoon.
But today we're talking about a very serious subject, guys. Mm. School-related gender-based violence.
Yeah. Mm.
And somebody might say, like, what? Gender-based violence in schools? What are we talking about? I understand, as we were discussing earlier, that psychologically we got bullying. Mm. We got, whether it's face-to-face, whether it's on the cyberspace, but it's bullying. And then we understand, but sexual abuse as well in schools.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
Sure. It happens in schools. There's what we call sexual harassment.
Uh-huh.
There's no...
But wait, by a student on another student?
Yeah.
Or by authority on students?
Both.
How about student, vice versa? Students on authority as well?
Mm.
It happens.
Sure.
Yeah, it happens. And it's broad. I like how you started. You spoke about cyber bullying.
Mm-hmm.
You can find such things as, you know, sexual comments being done online, learners exchanging conversations about teachers. And the thing is, whenever we speak about gender-based violence,
we're thinking home.
Yeah, and then the word violence, most of the time when we hear violence, people think about something, you know, I throw a thing at you. No. Yeah. It's to basically violate somebody's rights.
Mm.
So the moment I violate your rights, that violence on its own, it's violent.
Mm.
So if, for example, we have a picture of a teacher as learners, and then we exchange the picture via WhatsApp, making nasty comments, we are violating the rights of the teacher. And that on its own, it can be considered as sexual violence because you are violating their rights.
Mm.
The other thing that learners will do, they will also exchange pictures of fellow learners making nasty comments.
Mm.
So those kind of things, they happen at school. And the other one is amongst young boys. Last year, we were at the primary school. They had to bring a boy around the age of 9. They brought him and said, please come here. And then they brought him before the police just to threaten him. And they said, this boy has a tendency of spanking the bums of other girls in the class.
Mm.
Yeah, that on its own, it's considered as sexual
How
harassment.
How old is this boy again?
Between 8 and 9. Very young.
So he saw that where? At home?
Yeah, yeah. The most of these behaviors, they are modeled. If it's not home, it's social media platforms.
Mm.
So we are living in two worlds. It's a physical world and the cyberspace.
Mm.
And then the social media platforms that they get to, even the comments that they learn from social media platforms, the things that people say out there, you find that young people, they take that language and they exercise it amongst themselves.
Mm.
You find that there's a girl in their classroom whom time and again they get, you know, insults because of boys think it is cool to speak about private parts of young girls. Where did they see that? They see it on social media platforms.
Sure, I was so, I don't know, flabbergasted, what's the word? But like, I saw these children in a classroom getting so much cozy.
Mm.
I'm putting it nicely. I'm really putting it nicely.
Mm.
In a classroom. And when the teacher came, other students were like really shouting around the teacher. And the other ones continued as though nothing is happening.
Mm.
Like getting sexually acquainted in a classroom. So you're meeting such, Dominique?
Pardon?
You meet such cases.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, let's have a look. The sexual...
The mic closer to you.
Hello.
Thank
you. The rape, the consensual age has been dropped from 16 to 12. So your 12-year-old can go and buy prophylactics without the parents' consent. In South Africa, your 12-year-old, if the parents or the courts give permission, can get married today. I think I'll kill someone if they want to marry my 12-year-old.
Hmm.
But... hormones, your hormones, I mean, girls reach puberty sometimes at the age of 8 or 9 or 10 years of age. So those itches, they're looking for a place to scratch. And if we don't educate them properly that their body is a temple and they should love their body and look after their bodies and that their bodies are not for sale, you know, when you're in a household where... it's okay to be walking around naked, you know, dad walks around in his undies, mom, whatever the case may be. You think that's the norm and that's okay, you know, be proud of your body, love your body. But it's what you're teaching your children in terms of the 6-inch rule, that this is my space and that is your space and you do not enter my space, or where there's coercion or purchasing that, you know what, if you give me this, I'll give you that.
Mm.
And you put yourself in for sale at a very, very early age because that's what you get taught from an early age and you don't get a communication of any better. That it becomes second norm to like having your first cup of coffee in the morning, that doesn't become something that's sacred and special to you. That you're not being taught that when you exchange that kind of intimacy, you have a soul tie with that person. You know, that you don't understand, that you have that connection, that, you know, a sexual act is not just something like brushing your teeth. This is something that you have a connection, you have an intimacy with that person. And when 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, they're bringing it to school because they think it's just, it's part of life.
I even saw that in preschool. There was a video of like preschoolers.
Well, the thing is, how many times have you heard about the doctor-doctor game? You show me yours and I'll show you mine and we play doctor-doctor. That starts
but now,
at the age of 8 or 9.
What happened to authority? Mm. How do our children view authority, Sis Petunia? I remember when we were growing up, and by God's grace, we didn't have social media platform. There was a teacher whom at our school they called Was Now, because he would go and buy on sale. So whatever, when there would be a sale, he would be wearing new clothes. And so the children were like, oh, so he's a Was Now, because it was this price, now it's this much. And I remember how broken he was when he found out that the learners called him Was Now. And they even had other names for other teachers. But what's nice is that there was no social media. But how do our children view authority? I mean, we were afraid. And if the teacher said, who came up with the word Was Now? Nobody wanted to show up to say it was me. But now even the children are bold to say, you know, you are Was Now. What's happening?
Yeah, it's really a sad story that we are facing these days, you know, where the children don't even know how to respect an elderly person. You know, in my time when I boarded a bus and there were no seats for an older person to sit, I would get up. You know, but then these days you'll never find that kind of behavior. So we see a lot of influence from social media, which is really influencing our kids in a wrong way. You know, there's no respect. There really is no respect. You know, the moral fiber, the society has lost it. We really have lost it some way. And we really need to go back to basics, you know, where we also find, you know, unfortunately, there are some adults who also don't respect themselves. So now how do you expect a child to respect you if you do not respect yourself?
Should we always point it to our parents?
Not necessarily, you know, but then remember that when children are born, they don't know anything. So they will just take in whatever the kind of life that they are living. That will be their reality, which is why a lot of emphasis and importance is based, you know, is placed on the parents or on the parental figure, because you have been there. You are more experienced than the child. The children learn what they live. And then you are the one as the adult figure or as a parental figure in the home that will model the behavior of the child. You know, you go to really, there are no boundaries. There is no morality in society. There's no God. We don't have God anymore. And I think that is the main problem, because we have put God at the back seat. How do we expect to get it right? You know,
Him out of us.
We've taken him out of everywhere. You know, there are some churches as well that are churches, but there's no God. You know, unfortunately. So I think we need to reprioritize and give the Lord his place in our lives, you know. And he has given us, I always say, that there is nothing in life that doesn't come with a manual. You buy a car, it has a manual. You buy a microwave, there's a manual. And we make sure that we stick to that manual. Why are we not doing it with the Bible? Why? Because God knew when he created us, he knew that this is your role as a child. This is your role as a mother. This is your role as a wife. This is your role. There's nothing ambiguous in the Bible. Everything is straight.
Sure.
But why have we put that manual aside?
It's growing. There's a growing scare to many parents where schools are concerned, because schools are now becoming dangerous places for children to go to. Not only for the children, but also for the educators themselves. What is the role of the community, Pastor Clement, when it comes to some of the violence that we see happening in the schools? Yes, we spoke about the parents as well, the background, where they come from. What about the communities that we live in, where the schools are?
It's a broad one. So before we can have a community, first we have a family. Family setting.
Yes.
So it starts from a family setting to a community. The community can be your neighbors.
Yeah.
Community can be your workplace.
Yeah.
Community can be your school. Wherever you go to, it can be your community, but it starts at home. Back then, God in Israel, he was intentional about his people being different from the world.
Yeah.
And then this is what the Israelites have done. They had a culture of when they raise their kids, they must go to synagogue. So synagogue was responsible for education, number one.
Mm.
Education that was God-orientated.
Mm.
The second thing you'll find in the synagogue, it was about family values and morals. So synagogue, it was built and packaged to monitor the behavior of the society.
Mm-hmm.
And then when kids were growing up in the synagogue, synagogue helped them so much so that when they integrate with the society at large, they integrated being people who are ethical, people who have morals, who don't just do as they wish.
Right.
There's a manual, like Petru said, a manual that must dictate in terms of how do you relate with elder people. There's a day when I read Exodus 20 and I realized that as much as people may think that the laws of God are difficult, those laws were given to save us from ourselves.
Mm.
You know, thou shalt not murder.
Mm.
If you murder another person, what's going to happen to you?
Mm.
You know, some places you'll find that there's a mob justice. You get killed because you killed. So those laws, basically, they are not hard. They are saving us from ourselves.
Mm.
So we need to train up our kids from family settings.
Mm.
There's something that I've studied back then. It's in our the history of South Africa, if I to put it that way. The government back then, go to especially the suburb areas, you will find that a few kilometers in every community, there's a church.
Yeah.
There's a church.
Mm.
There's a church structure.
Mm.
It was necessary that wherever people live, God must also be with them.
Mm.
If you take God out of the society, you are going to have chaos in the society.
Mm.
A human being, as much as we have positions of authority, other people submit to us, other things submit to us, and etc., we must also be under authority.
Mm.
If we submit not to anybody, we're going to have a problem. So even our children, that's how we must train them, raise them in such a way that even when we are not there, they know that there are principles that are governing their lives.
Mm.
So let's go and fix home.
Okay.
You must be intentional about your home, build it, and train your children.
The cyberspace, the many social media platforms that are there, that are educating our children, and influencing their behaviors. How do we deal with this part? Because what I heard you say, guys, is that monkey see, monkey do.
Mm-hmm.
So they would see something on a social media platform, and the 8-year-old who was smacking the bumps, mm-hmm. you know, so that somewhere, and he came and he did it. He thought it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to be corrected.
Mm.
Dominique? How do we deal and help our children where the cyberspace is concerned? Because I think there's a lot of rubbish, I'm sorry to put it that way,
absolutely.
On the spaces.
Absolutely.
And how do you teach your children to sift and all that?
We've gone into a world where we're afraid to raise our children. We're afraid to give our
children. But everything else is raising our children.
Correct. Mm. But we're afraid to give them consequences. You know, me growing up, you know, the Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. Now, I'm not saying give your child a smack through the face. God gave you now we're going to the bum again, but gave mom a hand with a flat hand and a button for you to feel that, whoa, what I've done now is wrong. You know, my fondest teacher, I remember, is a teacher who gave me a hiding because my sister got knocked over by a car outside of school. And the next week I walked across that road. And by the time my foot hit that sidewalk, this teacher was giving me a hiding because did I not see what happened to my sister? sister the week before. Why am I walking across that road? Consequence. We are too afraid because of authorities that...
Wait, Dominic. Are you saying that we are only teaching our children about their rights, but
correct,
not consequences, correct, and responsibilities,
correct,
as well?
Yes. I mean, there's a meme doing the rounds where it says, in the past, you'd have the parents and the teacher standing on this side of the desk moaning at the student, right? Mm-hmm. Now you've got the teacher sitting behind the desk sweating with the child and the parent standing over the teacher. At what point... Did we swap the roles around?
Yeah.
Because I have friends and family who are educators in schools, and I sometimes chaperone events and that. And the thing is, you have, as a parent, have a responsibility to teach your child manners and to teach your child, to make sure your child is school ready. That, as Petunia referred to, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, thank you, sir, manners. When an elderly person or a woman steps into a room and there's boys in the room, you stand up and you greet them. You, for the boys, give a firm handshake. We don't teach them that anymore because we've become lazy parents, because, you know, when in the past we would sit and do a puzzle with our children, now we give them this technology to keep them quiet while we go on with our lives. You gave birth to that child. There are so many people out there who are struggling to have children, to fall pregnant, and you have been gifted with this life. It's your responsibility to take care of that life and raise that child as a godly, respectful person, that when they enter a school, they are ready for the educators and your authoritative figures. God leads with order and respect. And we are taking that away. We are becoming Sodom and Gomorrah again.
Yeah. Sure.
And it starts with us as parents, because if we become lazy parents, our children become even lazier and lazier and lazier.
What if you are a wonderful parent, Sis Petunia? You're a wonderful parent. You teach all these things. You talk to your child. You know what I heard yesterday? I heard these children, sometimes they are good at home. Oh, wonderful. Let them get behind the gates of the school. That's where they're going to find everything, and they become themselves when they are there. But when they are home, mommy's around here, so there's discipline.
Yeah. I think you are touching on something that is very important, to say you are a good parent, but then you find that, you know, sometimes your kids are not modeling your goodness as a parent. But the truth of the matter is, if you really think about it, if you have maybe three kids, same parents, the three kids will not experience the same parenting.
Yeah.
Because you as a parent, you are at different levels or different stages in your life. You know, your eldest child is not going to experience you the same as the last born. You know? And the middle child will not experience you as either of them. Because you may be going through your own things as a parent while you had, when you had the eldest one, and you know, things changed. Second one, still circumstances change. You are a different parent. Then the last one came and you're still a different parent. So, you know, so you can be good, but then still your children do not model your goodness, as I said. And I think we need to remember, Sis Bongi, to say, you know what? The kids belong to God. Let us not want our kids to be us. Your kids are not you. Your kids are here to fulfill their purpose in this life. So you find that there are some parents who want to make their kids to be them or to correct their wrongs, you know, while they were still young or growing up. So we need to really allow the kids to be themselves, because sometimes we hold them too tight.
Okay.
We suffocate them.
Okay.
They are not able to get out of there, or they are not able to explore their individuality. So you find that a kid grows up and they still don't know who they are because they've been trying to please their parent. They don't know themselves because
be a helicopter at the same time.
You guide. You know, I always say, guide the kids. Don't overthink for them. Let them come with their own solutions. If they don't get, if they get burned, it's okay.
Yeah.
You've told them not to touch.
Yeah.
And if they touch, let them burn.
Okay.
They're learning.
Allow them to suffer the consequences of touching.
Yes. I let them to think for themselves.
All right. Let's take a break and then come back. I'm also thinking about children who are coming from good families where they are also good. And then they meet this teacher at school. And then they meet these young people at school who would turn their lives upside down. How do we deal with this? Because it's not just the children on the children. Mm. It's also children on the teachers and teachers on the children. There are those children who are victimized by their own teachers. They are afraid to go to school because of a certain teacher. Mm-hmm. But let's take a break and come back to talk to you some more.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart. The future of sharing the gospel is here. Online listening is growing rapidly, and Radio Pulpit is ready with two brand new online stations, Radio Kansel Hartklank and Radio Pulpit Tigelele. Your support can make it happen. Help us acquire cutting-edge equipment, visit your community with outside broadcast vehicles, and share the gospel worldwide. Partner with us today to reach our target of 3 million rand. SMS give and your amount to 37871 or send a WhatsApp to 082-657-2729. Together, we're touching lives everywhere.
We understand that as a young person, you face many challenges that threaten both your safety and mental well-being. And in this fast-moving world, you don't always have someone to talk to. That's why I Am Youth has joined hands with Child Protection Hotline to give reliable and accessible counseling to young people. So send a WhatsApp text, SMS, or call the number 076-037-6345 to get help today. We believe that you are worth it.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
That's where you're at. You're on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion on Heart to Heart with me, Sibongile Mofokeng, with you up until 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, we say goodbye to you. Dramini Johan Elsa takes you through with something else. And he continues with you on spectrum.sasir. And I'm not alone. I'm with beautiful people in the studio. Okay, and a handsome one. Yeah. When I say beautiful, you're kind of
the rose among the thorns.
I'm with Pastor Clement Chauke, and I'm with our psychologist Petunia Linono and Dominic Tibbles, and they are in the school ministries as well. They do so many other things. They are business people, but they have dedicated their time to also minister to our children, and I love them for that, because how many of us go out to minister to our children? Like we said, the phone does that, the television does that, social media does that, but hey, you guys, you go and you sit in their classrooms and talk to them as well, and help them to become better people. And so we are talking family on the subject of school-related gender-based violence and how to deal with this. Let's listen to a voice note from Lekgolo Mayatula first, and then we continue.
Hi, I'm listening to your show, and I just wanted to say, I hear what Pastor is saying around there, you as a church in the suburbs with every community. But there's also a side to it that says God is not only in the church. So in rural communities as well, God is there, and God is also in nature. So the structure in itself is one part, but it's the behavior of the people of that community. So when you acknowledge God, not only in the buildings, but acknowledge God in humanity, then it becomes easier. Then it becomes God's word, because you would treat another human in the same way you would want to be treated. And yeah, so I just wanted to just add to say that God is not in a structure, because those structures and those people in those structures have also an opportunity to derail people. Because even in those structures at the time, those structures in some areas were actually used to perpetuate apartheid. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Lekgolo, I see Muruti wants to come in. Yeah. Thank you, Lekgolo, for your voice note. Muruti?
Yeah, so my comment to that, and of which I also respect her comment, before I even spoke about the churches in our communities, I spoke about synagogues back then in the Bible. It was necessary for doctrines. And then if we are to build communities and indoctrinate them, there must be structures where we take our kids to indoctrinate them. Same thing applies with schools. They go to schools because there's something that you want them to learn. So whether in that school, because I see where she's going with this, whether the doctrine is right or wrong, the conversation is not on that. My conversation is on we need places where we can facilitate the doctrine.
The fear of God,
yeah.
If we put it simply,
yeah.
The fear of God is what we are talking about.
Yeah.
So that means that because humanity has now, or should I say, the moral fiber has been affected, we need to just have that restored.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. But it must be facilitated.
It needs.
Yeah. It okay. Must be a structural thing. It's like. When you go to a new work environment and they take you for induction process and then they tell you the code of conduct where you are working and all those things, some companies, they will even take you, let's say, for a weekly training. You go there for a week, you become indoctrinated. So what I'm saying is, even with our families, we must be intentional about that. To say maybe for a week we're gonna bring the cousins together, and then and like African cultures will do, they were and even now they're still initiation schools. They take them there. The conversation is not about the doctrine. My conversation here is whether the doctrine is wrong or right. We need to be intentional about structures. So if we want to build a thriving communities which are healthy, we must have a structure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the important message that I'm hearing for the day is restoring.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Restoring. Okay. And Nicolette is just loving her mom. Looking beautiful, mom.
Yes.
My. Our check says, so true. The Bible must be our manual in our homes.
Mm.
Mrs. Bobble saying hi.
Hello.
I think, is it Mike?
MLC.
MIC saying, Melissa. Hi, Dom. So proud of you. As a teacher, I notice we guide best modeling through our daily actions and words. So she's talking on behalf of teachers. We must walk our talk.
Mm.
Love is our best teacher. Mm. So it starts with them walking the talk and talking the walk at the same time. Then it becomes easier. She says, I'd love to also come talk about how we can sow into the lives of our students as teachers. Please.
Okay
get her here. All right.
Okay.
You guys
will make it possible.
Abhijit says, how do you help a child who is good at home? Okay. And my answer, I don't think I'm going to get my answer today. How do you help a child who is good at home, but when he's at school, he becomes something else? And I think that's what we asked. Yeah. You can just run through quickly on that. At home, the structure is well and God-centered. I think we did address that, but a quick one, because I want us to wrap up.
Sure.
And I know my question was, if a teacher is the one who's not walking the talk, how do we do so? But let's answer Abuja quickly again.
Yeah, a quick one from my side. Let's look at the story of the prodigal son.
Mm.
When he was lost in the world,
mm.
the Bible says there was a time when he came back to his right mind. Where did he get that right mind? He got it at home. And then the very same right mind took him where? It took him back home.
Mm.
So if you instill those principles in them, even if along the way they may make mistakes, like Petru said, you told them don't touch, they will be bent, they get bent, they will always remember. Mm. This is what mommy and daddy taught me.
All right. I don't think you guys are going to answer me today.
I have an answer for you. You know, when it comes to, if you know what your principles are at home, you know, when that child walks through the school gates,
they are being exposed to many different personalities and cultures and everything. Mm. And sometimes they want to be the cool kid. And I always, parents need to be partners with the teachers, yes, and work with the teachers, yes, not against them. And mm, and they need to be the partners with the teacher where the child knows, yay, if I,
and vice versa,
if I don't behave here, the teacher's going to tell mom and I'm going to, you know.
Mm.
And the thing is, we need to educate our children that when they walk through that gate, they don't need to be the cool kid and hang out with the gangs and things like that. They can be the brave one. They can be the outlier to say, no, this behavior is not. They could be the one that when there's that child that stands up and becomes disruptive in the class, you be that one to say, this is not the legacy that you want to leave, because that legacy will follow you into job applications, into varsity, where you'll be put in your place very, very quickly. You might think that you the bee's knees when you are standing up against a teacher fluffing your feathers in a classroom.
Yeah.
And you think you're so cool. And what? Where does that take you?
Mm.
And it's when we walk through, when our kids walk through those gates, we need to know who their friends are, who they're hanging out with, and have a communication and a conversation with our kids at all times.
All right. I'm going to say halftime. I'm going to say halftime. Can we come for a part two?
Sure.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, we need a part two.
Yeah, I see Nicholas just put a question there that I'll have to answer tonight.
No. We'll come back. We'll come back to all of this. I saw some other questions also down there. And Melissa, you got to get Melissa here. You have to get Melissa here as a teacher. All right. When it's school holidays, I think you can do something with Melissa. Yeah. All right. Pastor Clement, how do we get hold of you guys?
Social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. My handle is Clement T.C. Chauke. Clement T.C. Chauke. Just hit me with an inbox and I'll respond.
Sis Pechu, I nearly said Pastor Pechu. Ew, it means you're going to be a pastor.
I'm ready for it. Let it come. I'm on social media, all the platforms, and my WhatsApp number is 072-971-1324. So on social media, I'm Pechu Nyalenono. As simple as that.
All right. Dominique?
So personally, social media on Instagram and Facebook is Dominique Tibbles. Or you can follow Belly to Brain, B-E-L-L-Y, the number 2 and brain. And you can email us on accounts@bellytobrain.org.
All righty then, guys, I love you, but I have to say goodbye to you. I wish there was more time. Hey. Okay, we're coming back for a round 2, right?
Amen.
Yes. All righty then, signing out to my family, and we're saying hello to Germany, Johan Else on something else. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of our Lord Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Leaving you with the sounds of Tamela Man, Take Me to the King.
Feel the pulse of real life on 657 AM.
We understand that as a young person, you face many challenges that threaten both your safety and mental well-being. And in this fast-moving world, you don't always have someone to talk to. That's why I Am Youth has joined hands with Child Protection Hotline to give reliable and accessible counseling to young people. So send a WhatsApp text, SMS, or call the number 076-037-6345 to get help today. We believe that you are worth it.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729, and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882, and OpenView 607. Also, follow us on our social media, download our app, and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.